A reading from John chapter 7. About in the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is, speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." So Jesus proclaimed, as he taught in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I come from, but I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, "When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?" O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As the crowd once again gathers during that great feast, the Feast of Booths, the people are reminded of God's faithfulness, his faithfulness to those who traveled through that wilderness of Sinai. Indeed, it was a feast of presence, God's faithful presence amongst his unfaithful people. And in the midst of the temple, the crowd screams out, "You have a demon." The evil crowd, they call the Holy One of God demon-possessed. There they gather, there in that temple, so that they might be in the very presence of God. And now when God speaks to them, they see him as one who is controlled by Satan. What had brought about such anger in this crowd, who moments earlier stood staring at Jesus in wonder? They were in awe of his great learning. The world always loves the things of the world. Still to this very day, we rejoice in those who have great scholarly minds. However, when God is given glory, the love of the world, it disappears. And many of you know this, but you have not yet learned this. Jesus is clear. "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me." Jesus has not come to that temple seeking his own glory. He was not there to somehow make a spectacle of himself. He was not there on the advice of his brothers who had suggested that he go and show himself? Earlier, you might remember, his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples might see the works that you are doing. For no one does in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." And then we're reminded that his brothers still had not yet believed. No, Jesus doesn't go to the great feast because the prodding of his brothers. Jesus is clear. He is the sent one. His message is not his own. He's not there because of the will of men. His words are clear. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether this teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. How shall these people know the difference? The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. And so there Jesus is, God in the flesh, in his temple. And his words are true, and the people, they marvel at the word made flesh, and yet they don't recognize that they're staring into the very face of God. Jesus brings the word of life and the word of death, but he does so to his Father's glory and not to his own. The time of Jesus' glory, it will soon come. Indeed, Jesus refers to this glory already this day in a way that none of his hearers totally understand. He asks the crowd, "Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keep the law. None of them love as they should love. None of them are faithful. None of them truly seek God's presence." Jesus' answer demonstrates this. He says, "Why do you seek to kill me?" Jesus has enraged them. His words are true, and they know that his words are true, and none of them have kept the law, and therefore they are guilty as they stand there before the very judgment of God. They would kill him now, if they could, but his time has not yet come. However, Jesus' words, they do break through the darkened hearts of some of those who hear him. Jesus' words have authority, and an authority that the crowds have not seen before. There were many gathered for that feast who did not know Jesus, but they had surely heard of him. This is evident in the words of the crowds. "Is this not the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is, speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that he is the Christ?" Well, can they? Can they really know that Jesus is the Christ? Yes. It's clear that Jesus is the Christ, and even the chief priest will later admit this to the council. He will say, "You know nothing at all." Referring to Jesus, he will continue, "Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." And we're reminded then, he did not say this of his own accord, but by high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day, they made plans to kill him. Yes, Jesus' death, it's coming soon, but that's why he's come, born, that he might die. Jesus' death would be for those who had the law of Moses and yet did not keep it. Jesus was clear, they had not kept the law. And yet, it is also clear that we, not a one of us, have kept the law. And we, like all of them in that temple that day, we gather here also as lawbreakers, as adulterers, as murderers, as thieves, as coveters, idolaters, those who bear false witness. We gather as a people who are under the very guilty and judgment of eternal death. However, the chief priest of Israel is right. Through Jesus' death, we have been gathered as one gathers far off children. We who were once scattered abroad have been washed clean through holy baptism. The gift that has connected us to the cross, to the crucifixion of Jesus, to the very resurrection itself. And we who receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, we are promised life from death itself. Jesus was there at that great feast, the feast that marked God's continual presence and provision for those who were wanderers in the wilderness of Sinai, the feast that pointed to the promise of God's presence with his people, his faithfulness in the midst of their unfaithfulness, in the midst of their sin. This Jesus is the same one who manifests himself at that tabernacle while the Jews are in the wilderness. This Jesus is the same one who manifests himself in the temple, which was built by Solomon and consecrated during the Feast of Tabernacles. This Jesus is where he must be, that is, in his Father's house. The Word who has become flesh, he speaks. The faithful one, they hear his voice. Their question is the right question. When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than he has done? And the answer, of course, is no. Because Jesus is the Christ who does not deserve to die but will go to death for those who deserve death for us. And in his death, he defeats sin, death, and devil. And he who dies shall now live. There's no greater sign than the sign of the cross. And there's no greater power than the power of the cross. And Jesus is clear, speaking of his cross, now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And here we are. Here we are gathered in this place where God has promised to be. We hear the same words that they heard. Most who heard him did not know him, but we know him. We know his presence through the gifts that he has promised to attach himself to. God with us. Through the days of our own wilderness, through the days of our own death, so that we might have life in the midst of whatever struggles we face. Nevertheless, we have died with Christ through holy baptism, and we shall rise with him. And this is most certainly true. Please rise. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.